We're continuing our coverage of a major Boston Police Department action from early last month, one the BPD has called Operation Clean Sweep. Over 2 days, August 1st and 2nd, the BPD arrested 34 people in the South End area of Melnia Cass Boulevard, Mass Ave, and Southampton Street. Initially, both Police Commissioner William Gross and Mayor Marty Walsh claimed that most of the arrests were for violent crimes and that most of the arrested individuals were from outside of Boston. But through a public records request and further digging, we found a much murkier picture of the police action. For more on this, we spoke with WBUR reporting fellow Jerome Campbell about exactly what he was able to piece together from the arrest records.
Well, the report showed that 9 people were arrested for dealing drugs. Not all of them were selling drugs at the time of the arrests. 8 were arrested for drug possession, the drugs ranging from heroin, cocaine, and prescription narcotics. And 18 of the people were arrested solely on active warrants. One of those was for trespassing, and 3 others were for larceny.
All right, so 18 arrests solely on active warrants. That appears to contradict what we heard from BPD Commissioner Gross and Mayor Walsh about both the focus and the outcome of the arrests.
Yes, both of them said that most of the people were violent offenders who were preying on the community around the Southampton Street shelters and recovery centers. It wasn't the only detail that they got wrong. There was also 19 people who were from the greater Boston area. And half of the people who were arrested wrote down that they were living at a shelter or were homeless.
So the commissioner had originally argued, Jerome, that most of the people who were arrested were from out of town. You say 19 from greater Boston, but greater Boston isn't the city of Boston. Some of them could still have been from out of town, right? So can you kind of clarify that for us?
Yeah, so of the 34, 14 people were specifically from Boston neighborhoods.
Okay.
And then getting up to 19, 5 more people were from Dedham, we're talking Quincy, closer, you know, sort of the adjacent cities. And then the rest were from locations that were not. They were either somewhere else in the Commonwealth or I think that in 2 cases they were from outside the state.
Jerome, did you get any insight into how police actually decided who to target or who to approach and who to arrest during their operation?
Well, the reports sort of break it down into 2 main categories. There was a smaller category where cases where police officers would see someone they had recognized from a previous arrest and sort of paying attention to them and then had seen them conduct themselves in such a way that they were either conducting a crime or were leading police believe that a crime might have happened. But a majority of those cases, the report sort of detailed that they would see people sort of walk away from police cruisers or police officers and put something in their pocket. And based off of the training that they'd received, at least this is what the police reports are telling us, that that officer said that was suspicious enough to sort of warrant a more intrusive investigation.
Some people would question treating walking away from a police officer as being suspicious activity. Were there strong grounds for the police? Do we have other precedent for the police to treat something like, I'm walking away from you, as suspicious enough to approach you and potentially arrest you?
That's a good question. Well, the reports didn't detail anything about how that training was informed. So to be able to specifically answer that question, no. I think what the reports do say is that they have come to understand this area as an open-air drug market. So and they sort of refer to this expectation that in this area something, whether it's a drug deal or an assault or some sort of criminal activity happening, that is not surprising to them.
All right. So those arrested were arraigned in Roxbury District Court, and we know that Suffolk County DA Rachel Rollins has said that her office doesn't think Suffolk County Corrections is the right place for people with addiction. She also, in general, does not want to prosecute certain low-level offenses. So has she commented on what we now know about the arrests?
Well, Rollins has said that she does not want to see these people in jail. And as part of it, 8 of the people who were arrested in these sweeps were released without bail. So they were released straight back out into the community and hopefully, based on what she has said, are getting the help from organizations, whether local organizations, state local organizations, or federal entities that can provide the support that they need.
Jerome, the arrests happened on the 1st and 2nd of August. So why did it take so long to get this information?
Well, it largely had to do because it was a 2-pronged approach. The first was that we had filed a public records request with the police department. We get these reports about a week after these sweeps. And it took about 2.5 weeks to get them back. Unfortunately, they were heavily redacted from any sort of personal information that would have helped us connect these defendants' names with the reports. So we had to go and use a different technique, which was going to the courthouse and pulling all the records for all the defendants, which you can imagine is a very lengthy process. Unfortunately, those documents are not only just in one courthouse. They're in the Boston court. They're in Malden. They're in Chelsea. And because of it, it just took a while to get around, find all the reports, and then find the additional information to fact-check what was provided by the police.
Jerome, in the immediate days after the arrests, we heard a lot of concern from activists about police methods and approach. Have you heard any reactions from activists to this new information that you've released?
Yeah, so many of the activists are saying that, I guess, what my piece showed is the same thing that they've been talking about, what they've known to be true for a while, which is that they're saying that when police are in the area around these shelters, around these recovery centers, they're looking to arrest people on warrants and not necessarily arresting people on these new crimes that are happening all the time in this area.
And then, of course, again, you found that 18 of the arrests were, in fact, on warrants.
Yes.
All right. Any unanswered questions left?
So there's two questions. First, where are the people who were arrested in these sweeps? We know 8 of them were released without bail, but we're not sure if they have returned back to these shelters and recovery centers where many of them were prior to these sweeps. And the second question is, this police action doesn't necessarily fit in within the city's larger public health plan for how to deal with people in the opioid crisis. And so hearing from the mayor and the police commissioner about sort of how does this sweep fit in, I think would help detail a lot.
That from WBUR reporting fellow Jerome Campbell. And WBUR reached out to both Boston Mayor Marty Walsh and Police Commissioner William Gross, but they declined to comment. So to discuss this further, we turn now to Boston City Councilor Anissa Asaibi-George. She's the chair of the Council's Committee on Homelessness, Mental Health, and Recovery. Councilor Asaibi-George, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much, Tiziana. Good to talk to you.
You too. So we spoke with you shortly after the police action originally happened, and at that time you said you had concerns. Mayor Walsh and Commissioner Gross were quite forceful in saying this operation was targeted at violent offenders, drug dealers, and people preying on the sick and suffering. Now, hearing these new arrest details, do you feel misled by that?
Well, I don't actually feel so misled, because we do know that many people who are sick and suffering are also participating in some of this drug dealing activity. And we do know a number of individuals are unfortunately looking to feed their own addiction, feed their own habit if they're dealing with a substance use disorder with dealing. But it's so important in this work around helping those that are suffering from this, from addiction, suffering from this crisis, that they get the services that they need to be well. And unfortunately, if you are dealing drugs, that there is, along with assistance and hopefully a pathway to recovery, there unfortunately is also some punishment that unfortunately comes along with that.
So you talked about just now and last time we spoke with you the importance of people who are experiencing addiction getting treatment. Some of the people arrested, that really was the situation. They were using their own addiction. It's been over a month now. Are people getting treatment? And as a result of this police action, are you hearing that people are staying away from that area? What do we know about that?
Well, over the last few weeks, I've spent some time in the Mass and Cath area, and we have seen a shift in where many of these individuals are unfortunately staying on the street. There has been sort of a redistribution in that area and throughout our city. And I think it's more important than ever that we as a city, especially those that are providing the direct services, the direct care, are looking at this as a regional approach. We need to look at the area as a whole. We can think about the Mass and Cass area in particular, but really the Boston area, there are people that are dealing with this crisis day in and day out. And, you know, we have this Operation Clean Sweep. There, unfortunately, in my view and in my opinion, there wasn't a continuum of care as a part of that effort. And people are not getting the care that they need. And we need to make sure that those that were released, that were arrested, that they, you know, and where I understand the question, appreciate the question, where are these people now? I want to make sure that they're getting the services they need.
Let's pick up.
And getting those, go ahead.
Well, let's pick up on that for a second. Our reporter, Jerome Campbell, had raised the question of how this particular police approach fit into the larger city public health strategy. What do you think about that? How do these things fit together?
Well, I think that we have seen a real need for better communication among our city's agencies. And this one particular effort that was undertaken by Boston Police needed to be better coordinated with our public health approach, because nobody here operates in a vacuum, that these silos need to be broken down. And our police are working with limited resources. Our health department and our outreach teams are working with limited resources. We need to make sure that they can better coordinate services. But really, in the end, for most of these individuals that are on the street dealing with this, with substance use disorders, dealing and facing homelessness, we need a public health approach to that work, not a police approach. That being said, there are individuals, and Jerome mentioned those individuals in his piece, that were arrested on drug charges. That has to be taken seriously, because as we do the work around getting care to people who need care and treatment, we need to realize that there is a drug trade and there is drug dealing that exists in our city that we need to put a halt to.
Counselor, we spoke earlier with Paul Bowman. He's the Massachusetts chapter director of the National Alliance for Medication-Assisted Recovery. He's in recovery himself, and he says he thinks police were deliberately targeting homeless people and drug users.
Most of the people out there are just struggling to get from one day to the next and waiting on housing lists and struggling with their own, substance use disorders.
So just briefly, what do you say to the argument that police sweeps like these criminalize addiction and poverty and homelessness?
We have to move away from criminalizing poverty for sure, and addiction certainly, as well as homelessness. And all individuals in that area, or almost all of those individuals in that area, are experiencing homelessness. And it's so important that we're getting them the resources that they need. But we also need to protect them from the vulnerabilities that they're experiencing because they're on the street, because they're dealing with substance use disorders, because they're in the midst of this crisis. It is about protecting that individual as well as the community at large.
Boston City Councilor Anissa Saibi-George, I really appreciate you coming back to Radio Boston today.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Stay with us. Coming up, a new documentary explores the lessons America still needs to learn 20 years after the Columbine shooting. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.